Keep It is brought to you by Built. Have you ever paid rent? Oh, so annoying. And I keep doing it every month. I've been hearing people talk about Built for a while now. And my first reaction was, why didn't this exist sooner? Becoming a Built member means earning points on every housing payment. Rent, mortgage, it doesn't matter. You're paying it anyway, so you should get something back for it. Built points can be redeemed for flights, hotels, Lyft rides, Amazon.com purchases, future housing payments, and more. Personally, I'd use them for, well, any number of things. The gift cards are nice. That's an underrated part of this. But fitness classes, that's super huge. And of course, a future housing payment. A brilliant use of Built.
An unexpected benefit Built gives every member access to is an agentic neighborhood concierge in the Built app. So it doesn't just give you information about your home and neighborhood. It executes. It connects your home and over 50,000 merchant partners. So you can ask it to pay your rent, make a dinner reservation, book a fitness class, schedule a Lyft, and more. And it really makes things happen while automatically applying your member benefits along the way. So for a crowd that thinks a lot about what agentic AI actually looks like in practice, this is an example that's worth paying attention to.
So first, download the Built app. Second, link any credit or debit card to the app so purchases at your local spots become even more rewarding. And third, ask the neighborhood concierge in the app pretty much anything. It'll tell you about exclusive member benefits at restaurants, fitness studios, or on your Lyft rides, and more around your home. And for the homeowners out there, Built works for mortgages too. Your housing payment is one of your biggest monthly expenses, so why wouldn't you want to earn points on it? Download the Built app and join the membership for where you live at joinbuilt.com/keepit. That's joinbuilt.com/keepit. Use our link so they know we sent you.
Baby, and we back.
Ooh.
We back. This is Keep It. I'm Nina Parker.
And I'm Louis Fertel. And I'm way the hell over here.
You're a little far.
Yeah.
You're a little far because we're in a new studio.
Yes. And they told me in this studio as I arrived that I can't wear black.
Yes.
Which, as you know, is one of my only talents.
I thought you was going to burst into flames.
Right. They said, Wednesday Adams, we've had enough.
I'm not convinced you're not a vampire. I haven't seen you outside. I only see you in studio.
No, right. No, and I would argue the lighting is best for me here. The sun and I don't really get along.
You actually look really good in this color. It's an oatmeal.
Thank you. No, it's breakfast time. So
yes.
I thought I would be what I should be eating.
You came to be served.
Yes, right. Allow me. And allow me to serve you.
Well, this is all new everything this year. I love it.
Yes.
We're adjusting.
It also feels very much like I'm a Daily Show correspondent, or you're going to throw
it
to me for the weather.
Yes. I actually am excited for this.
Okay,
yes.
Good.
Even though you're far away, I'm going to have to reach out and touch you in a little bit.
Okay.
Okay, now, as always, we've got a great episode for you guys today. We're going to talk about the new Charlie XCX album, the Purple Rain musical, which I'm excited to talk about, and our favorite albums that we would actually turn into Broadway musicals.
Mm-hmm.
But first, we got to talk about the new Netflix true crime doc.
Yes.
It's called A Toxic Love Story. Are you guys watching this? Because it's insane. So it follows a woman named Michelle Hadley, who was wrongfully jailed for 88 days after being framed in a cyber-stalking scheme by her ex-fiancé and his new partner.
Yes.
I feel like I just said something from Real Housewives. It was a scheme that Todd set up.
No, it's like Real Housewives of Orange County Wishes. Like, this is Anaheim, and it is, like, out-bravoing Bravo.
So I saw this all over my timeline. I'm not actually, a true crime doc person.
Nor am I.
Because it's so dark.
Well, it's also just, I have to say, even a really well-done true crime documentary, even, like, Serial, which popped off a decade ago or whatever, like, the takeaway from me is, wow, isn't that crazy? And then I never think about it again.
You know, I have to be honest. Selfishly, I watch this to make sure that I'm not insane.
Sure.
You know, like, sometimes you think you're like, I responded really crazy to this. Maybe I'm a little nuts.
Yeah.
And then I watch a doc like this and I say, hey, I'm perfectly normal.
Right. No, I don't need therapy after all.
No, because these people are crazy.
Yeah. And I will say, like, when I saw that it was number two on Netflix, I knew it would be, like, compulsively entertaining. Like, I know when Netflix wants to, like, turn out a true crime doc, like, they get the work done.
Well, it was all over my timeline on Instagram and on Threads. And I always think to myself, like, is this being overhyped? Because I do think, like, these days it's really, really easy to entertain people. So I'm like, this is really good. So when I went to watch it, I started preparing dinner thinking, like, I'd halfway be watching. Baby, I had to turn the stove off. I went and sat on that couch for that hour and a half.
I started it late last night, and then my night was late. I watched the whole thing.
I ate it up. But I am glad that it was just an hour and 30 minutes. It's not like a 6 episode. I wouldn't have been able. Everybody in this is insufferable. Sorry, Michelle. I know, you know, if you haven't seen it, the story's been out for years. But yeah. Like Michelle was ultimately the victim. She's a little cuckoo too, though, no?
Yes, but she was cuckoo in that way where she comes from seemingly a very innocent background or yes. very sheltered background.
Yes.
And I mean, everybody innocent I grew up with cuckoo. Was like that, you know, just like stuck in some church of some kind. But anyway, this couple. In Anaheim basically frame this guy's ex as somebody who is stalking his current wife
right.
who turns out to have issues of her own
right.
and they initially they are successful in framing this woman
right.
and she goes to jail for 88 days as you said with potential for life in prison
right
and then literally because the guy in this couple is a U.S. Marshal there's a whole branch, I guess, of the government investigating crimes related to
sure.
those people. And they reinvestigated the case and realized, oh, no, wait, he set this whole up.
Yes. And it's very confusing when you're watching the doc, which it is set up nicely where you're at first you're kind of like, oh, OK, it's this great couple that met. They fell in love. They moved in with each other. But I'll tell you my first red flag.
Yeah.
Them being Disney adults.
Excuse me. It's not just that this guy was a Disney adult. It's that he goes to Disneyland multiple times a week.
That's a red flag. I'm sorry.
I know some Disney adults, and they're like, okay, you know, once every couple months.
Sure.
To go there a couple times, it's not like Target.
No.
You don't need to pick up groceries there begrudgingly.
And I have to say this. Like, yeah. my hairdresser is a Disney adult. And so, you know, I love y'all, but y'all, it's a little different. Y'all different.
Right.
No, you know, no shade, but it's concerning.
I just don't understand, ultimately, what is the takeaway?
I think
is it about, because it's not about rides.
No, it's an experience that is, for whatever reason, I think that there are people who really just, it feels very euphoric. I liken it to me buying, you know, hundreds of dollars worth of skincare in the middle of the night. Maybe like they just get a rush.
Okay, no, and I love to like shop, that
yeah.
I get. But also I'm an adult shopping for adult things.
Well, it's
that's not like I need to be near Tigger right now.
Is Tigger a part of Disney?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay. I was like, I thought that was Six Flags.
No. Oh, no. First of all, you will not impugn Six Flags in front of me. Six Flags is that girl, that bitch.
Yes.
I've said before on this show, roller coasters are a wholesome version of bottoming for people in the Midwest.
I told you it's the straightest thing you've ever said.
Yes.
Yeah. She's like a roller coaster. But it's just the Disney adult thing I do not get. But I don't have to. But it's always, you know, it is. I'm never surprised when someone tells me they're a Disney adult.
Yeah. And here's the thing. I don't need to get it either. But at the same time, you should try explaining it to me because to say I'm judging you is an understatement. I think it's fucked up.
Well, I mean, when I say I'm never surprised when the person who tells me they're a Disney adult, I'm like, oh, I can see that for you.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And then you walk away.
I can see that for you.
Yeah.
And it's not a shady thing, but it is a certain energy they give off, which everybody in this doc, I just want everyone arrested. Even Michelle. I'm sorry. I know she's a victim. Everybody go to jail.
It would just be safer if you
everybody
were arrested.
Everybody go to jail. The Disney adult thing and everything. But I will be saying, and probably will be my Instagram caption for the next 30 days, show me your port.
Yeah.
Show me your port. I was dying. I was like, this lady was about to rip this woman's whole arm off.
Right. So this woman is getting anonymous, seemingly anonymous emails, threatening emails, being like,
yes.
Bitch, you're going down. And they're
right.
all in the character of, or she's calling the person Lilith. No, she's calling this person Lilith in
yes.
a biblical way.
Yes.
As in, what Lilith Fair is named after is Adam in the Bible's first wife, who basically, I guess, rebels against the Garden of Eden
yes.
and becomes like Lady Satan.
Right.
Anyway, so it has this biblical fundamentalist tone.
Right.
And
they call them like the Lilith emails.
Yes. And it turns out to be from, even though this couple feels like they're being threatened or claims to be threatened, it turns out they're writing them themselves.
Yes.
And so I don't know why they thought they would never get caught. That's really the mystery of this documentary.
It's just so bizarre.
Why would you be writing emails and think nobody's going to go into like and
right.
figure out your IP address or
and
whatever.
And what a crazy setup because, you know, Michelle, who was the victim, bought the condo with this guy.
Yeah.
I forget his name.
Ian.
Ian.
Yeah.
She buys the condo. She pays. She does the down payment for this condo, which, by the way, is 3 minutes from Disney.
Yes.
They literally buy a condo in Anaheim that's by Disneyland so they can get there quicker.
Right.
It's just everything. Every angle of
they
this thing
they can wave to Bambi from their home.
They yes. can. Yes. And, you know, so it was it's just he was she basically believes, Michelle believes, that this was a setup so that he could get the condo. He could frame her. He was mad that he could no longer control her because in addition to the lies, like she was saying that this was an abusive relationship. So yes. He was controlling. She believes he tracked her car and her phone so he would always know where she was and he would harass her. So she believes when she left him, this was his, you know, basically his payback was to get her to thrown in jail, which is crazy. Why can't people just leave people alone these days?
Yeah. No, also, right. He was upset he could no longer control her. And this is a way of being like, well, now I'll control your entire destiny. I will say there's one it's an entertaining movie. I basically am done thinking about it.
Yeah.
That said, I do think there's one very clever thing in the movie where we find out from the wife in this felonious duo. She at one point says, we hear that in her past she has said about this Michelle woman, I feel like we'll never be through with her. Like she'll always linger in our marriage.
Right.
And you think that she's crazy. Like, oh, she's fixated on this woman for some reason. It turns out she organized this whole thing. And it turns out she's right about her husband. He's obsessed with
her. That's what it was.
Yes.
And she was hearing that from him. And she wanted to move forward with him. So it just seems like he was in the driver's seat and she was in the passenger. But she was also, what are the odds that these two psychopaths would meet and form this really weird bond, which is why I guess it's called a toxic love story. But what are the odds?
No, it's like that Hitchcock movie, Strangers on a Train, where the right two people meet each other and they're like, I'll do your crime for you.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah, I mean, listen, I guess it was a perfect partnership till it wasn't.
Yeah, right. No, a successful business.
Yeah.
Maybe they have an LLC still.
What do you think, though, about like Netflix? Really, I feel like they were getting a lot of flack for their series because they take so long to come back. We've heard about the sophomore slump. The true crime drama seems to really work for Netflix.
Oh, yeah. I mean, also just it feels like true crime never goes out of style. Like there's always another one we're talking about, or if you're obsessed with that sort of thing, you can always like watch this. And then I know these people immediately go to Reddit and like look up the information that wasn't in the documentary or maybe misrepresented in the documentary.
Yeah.
So it just feels like there's a world of intrigue that feeds
itself.
There really
is. There were people in the comments who were saying if there's holes, because there are some holes in the story in the way that it's told. And the story does kind of jump around. So you really have to pay attention and see it through because there are some holes and some get plugged and some don't. That sounded a little sexual. but there are people who in the comments were saying there's a full, like, apparently a Dateline episode about this whole circumstance that they were saying, encouraging people to watch because it's just as fascinating.
Oh, yeah. Well, apparently this is a very famous story in Orange County.
I never heard
like
this.
This Michelle woman who went to jail for 88 days. By the way, she was supposed to go to jail for life.
Yeah.
And this couple that actually perpetrated this are only in jail for 5 and 10 years respectively.
Yeah.
So that's another like weird takeaway from this movie. Like, oh, that sucks.
At least, you know, she got her daughter. She got a happy ending. She was able to sue the Anaheim Police Department and she won.
Maybe so, that's the real victory.
Yeah, that's the victory. She did not get her. He scammed her out of her deposit, but she was able to get, file a lawsuit and get a judgment against the police department. So she was able to recoup some type of money.
And I also believe we should all be suing the Anaheim Police Department because, again, somehow they are enabling Disney adults. Go ahead and arrest them.
Yeah.
Arrest them.
Listen, our comments have already been insane from the Lord of the Rings take. I don't need Disney adults coming for me.
Oh, my life is different after those takes. Yeah. When elf lovers come after you. I'm not the same.
I gotta say, the red pill pipeline of fantasy,
right?
It's very interesting.
No, they took flight.
These fantasy fan bases are incredibly racist.
Oh, sure. I mean, they've all got to congregate somewhere and have something in common.
And we're not gonna stop talking about it. So you know, buckle up, put your seatbelt on.
I also just want to say, I didn't realize until looking up this movie last night on Netflix that Tar is also on Netflix. Now that is basically a true crime story, since basically half the internet believes she was a real EGOT winner.
There's a lot of things on there that I didn't know. You're just so used to seeing the homepage.
Yeah.
And then you search. But you know what bothers me about Netflix is they will fully let you search and ask you if you're searching for a movie and they don't have it.
Oh, right.
You know, were you looking for beaches?
They're like, we've heard of it.
Yeah. Well, why don't you try this instead? No, well, why y'all let me type this shit in? You knew I was looking for it.
Right. They're like, but you know what? There is an actress who looks like Barbara Hershey who's in this episode of Squid Game. How about that?
The suggestions are very poor.
Yeah, right. They're like, that reminds me of this other thing that's really popular right now.
Right. They're like, aren't you sure you want this instead? I'm like, I don't want a cooking show. I said I was looking for beaches. What's going on here? Anyway, I was very fascinated. And now I might have a little bit of a true crime, like, curiosity, where before it was very shut down.
Yeah.
Because it's so dark. But I might circle back on a few.
Well, again, the 90-minute ness of this made it so palatable.
Yeah,
you know,
I agree.
It's not like you can devote as much time into the Redditness of it yeah. as you want, but it was such a breeze.
Yes, agreed.
All right, we've got a lot more coming up, but before we go to break, I have a message for the civically engaged Keep It listeners. Mm. We're just under 100 days out from midterms, which means we'll need all hands on deck to fight for every seat up and down the ballot. It's never been more important to plug in, pound the pavement, and organize where you live. Vote Save America just debuted a new collection of tees featuring 9 of the most crucial battleground states on the 2026 map. Get yours and rep your state today at store.crooked.com. We will be back with our review of the new Charlie XCX album.
Yes. Today's show is sponsored by Strawberry.me. So listen, we all know someone who's not exactly in their dream career right now. And honestly, sometimes we look around and think, how did they get there? And what am I missing? So here's what nobody really tells you. The most successful people rarely figure it all out alone. They have mentors, coaches, people in their corner who help them think through the big decisions and what they can't see themselves. And that's exactly what today's sponsor, Strawberry.me, is all about.
It's like therapy for your career. A lot of us know we're capable of more. We just don't know what the next step actually is. I was skeptical about career coaching at first, but having someone who focuses on your situation, asks the right questions, and helps cut through all the noise, that turned out to be incredibly valuable. It starts with getting clear on what you actually want, not what everyone else expects you to want. Then you uncover the blind spots, the obstacles that are keeping you stuck, and finally you build an actual plan instead of waiting for the perfect opportunity to magically appear. Whether you're trying to land a new job, earn a promotion, or completely reinvent your career, Strawberry.me gives you a roadmap and a dedicated coach who's with you every step of the way.
Yes, so scan the QR code on your screen or head to strawberry.me/keepit to get 50% off your first session. That's strawberry.me/keepit. Strawberry.me, it's like therapy for your career.
Keep It is brought to you by Cozy Earth. Did you know that sleeping in a cooler environment offers so many scientifically supported benefits that enhance sleep quality and overall health, like mood regulation? Cooler sleeping conditions may boost serotonin levels, contributing to improved mood and reduced symptoms of depression. I sleep in a freezing room. I love it. It is some igloo community thing.
Same.
Yes. I am an emperor penguin. I'm an Adelie penguin.
Yes.
I'm waddling to bed.
I am the same way. And Cozy Earth sheets, they really do stand out above the rest. So the bamboo sheets are temperature regulating and guaranteed to give you a comfortable night's sleep. And as someone who is dealing with hot flashes, that is incredibly important. It's made from bamboo. They can naturally wick away heat and moisture from your body, helping you sleep several degrees cooler.
And with Cozy Earth, you can shop risk-free. Try Cozy Earth for yourself with their 100-night sleep trial. Returns are easy, but after feeling this level of comfort, you won't let them go. Plus, they have a 10-year warranty. Cozy Earth is built with care and precision because true comfort is meant to endure.
Yes, so head to CozyEarth.com and use our code KEEPIT for up to 20% off. That's code KEEPIT for up to 20% off. And if you get a post-purchase survey, be sure to mention you heard about Cozy Earth right on here.
British pop star and newly minted A-lister Charlie XCX just put out her latest album, Music, Fashion, Film. It's Charlie's first true studio album, follow-up to her breakout Brat, of which we had Brat Summer and basically Brat Year, and Lime Green Everything. She also made the soundtrack album for Emerald Fennell's Wuthering Heights earlier this year. Music, Fashion, Film features John Cale, Marc Jacobs, and Martin Scorsese on the cover and displays a grungier rock-inspired sound from Charlie. Nina, what'd you think of the album?
Well, you know, I'm not a Charlie XCX fan per se.
Yeah.
You know, I like her. She, like I already told you, I love a bop.
Oh, sure.
I love a little bop.
Well, you're a human being. And so, a good time gal.
And a good time gal. You're right. Thank you. And so I just kind of went in with no expectations, but I liked it.
Yeah.
But it does feel like it wasn't this like groundbreaking album. It did kind of feel like this would be a soundtrack on like a Gen Z coming of age movie.
Sure, sure.
You know, good soundtrack. But, you know, the sound almost, it did kind of just feel like it was a discography for a film. Like,
yeah.
You know, I didn't really, like a soundtrack.
Well, also, this is a pretty short album. It's like 11 tracks, and it's like none of the songs really are super drawing attention to themselves. Like, it came in wet the first time I listened to it, and actually my reaction was, is there any way I can put a pin in this and come back to it in the fall? Because I'm still in a very summer, danceable Madonna Confessions 2
yes,
space.
Yes.
Those two sounds don't really gel together for me at the moment. That said, I listened to it again. There's a quality about Charlie XCX where, first of all, we just need more British celebrities because
you
British celebrities are, there's just no other way to put it, always funnier than us. They always have like a resting sort of like drollness and like, I don't know, weirdness that that they feel comfortable expressing. I just find them to be generally a little bit cooler than us. And then in pop, we need people with their own vibe as opposed to people who are all algorithm. And
that's
Charlie
true.
Is not writing towards an algorithm,
that's true.
Which I'm deeply grateful for. As I listen to the album a second and third time, I just think she has a quality where no matter what the actual sound is she's producing, and of course this has a rock, strokesy, PJ Harvey kind of vibe at times, there's a quality about her where you're listening to her, like the words she wrote. And I just think she's a really good celebrity to have a parasocial relationship with because you know where she's coming from. Like, I would say this is it doesn't feel like any part of the confessional nature of this album is acted. She's like, this is straightforward. You know, it's kind of funny. It's a little fatalistic. It's a little cynical. But that feels real to her and authentic to her. And so I feel like it's just another interesting, cool chapter of her game. Now, I will say, Brat to me had a rowdiness to it that I really wanted to revisit a lot. And this one is so kind of I thought Brat was like half rowdiness, half malaise. Mm. This is fully a malaise album, I would say.
And I think it's hard when you have something that's so popular like Brat. I often wonder when artists have these breakout albums that just permeate society, what the pressure is. Because I don't know if people expected her to come out with an album right now.
Yeah.
And I read that she was like, she wasn't either, actually. And then she said she felt inspired and this was done over just the course of a couple of weeks. That she just kind of went in and was like, I'm feeling something and I just want to put it out there. And I get that as an artist because I think when you're creative, you want to try different things. And when people like something from you, they want a million ways of it in different ways.
Yeah.
So I do like that she was doing something a little different. But do you think this is a pivot from Brat?
I think it's a step in a different direction, which, again, you can count on from her. I think she refuses to be bored. She, like Madonna, actually, she's not going to put out something just because it's expected of her. Mm-hmm. And that sounds like a basic criteria of artistry to me. But no, I do think that's rare. I think plenty of artists are like stuck making music they don't want to make. And then years later, you get the interview from whatever, some former Disney Channel star being like, well, I hate my first six albums.
Right.
You know, and it's like, this is somebody who I think is making a discography that could only be hers. So it's like, even if you're not obsessed with the stylings of where she is currently, you can only be grateful for it because it's like, no, this is like an actual artist
kind
working.
Of respect it, because when you have someone like Drake, right, who put out three albums at once, and you kind of are like, well, this is just someone who wants to get out of their deal. There's maybe one or two out of three albums, one or two songs that you could, I mean, they were all fine, but there wasn't anything breakout about it. But it felt like, you know, you can kind of tell when artists are kind of ticking a box.
Yeah, right.
And when they're real, this is really something that they're invested in. And I do like it, even if it's not my vibe. I respect an artist who's like, this is something I want to put out because I'm feeling it and this is what I want to express, as opposed to let me just meet a quota.
Right. No, I mean, I guess this must be a couple years ago, or at least a year and a half ago, when Katy Perry put out a much maligned album called 143 that had like no banger singles, seemed to be really plain, seemed not to have her voice in it. I think the main complaint there is you can tell somebody's at the end of their deal, you know? And it's like if only the pop stars had a way of being upfront about that kind of thing, but they really can't be.
Right. Because everybody's in a 360 deal these days.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. And but I do think, like, when I think about my parents growing up and, you know, when somebody would put out an album, you didn't know where they were in a deal, if they even had a deal. A lot of these people didn't have a home. They was just like, I'm going to go and belt and I don't even know if I'm going to get paid for this. And I feel like, which obviously we're happy that everybody is getting a check, but it just seems like now the industry is just, everything is just so cookie cutter. We get these routines. So I do agree with you in the sense of, when you were saying British people are more funny, I do think there is an edge to them when I talk about pop, right?
Yeah.
Which I don't know if we would consider Charlie pop, but she's, you know, it's not necessarily rock either.
No,
right?
No. It's more like rock is an idea lingering over the album than it is rock music.
Exactly.
Like, you're not getting a long guitar solo or anything.
Right, exactly. And it does feel very formula.
Yeah.
And it doesn't feel like any, you know, it all, even when someone wants to appear as a badass, it still kind of feels like marketing. Doesn't really feel like this is a person's authentic. So I do love when people take risks, do what they want, have that, you know, that Madonna type of, you know, feel to something where it's
refusing to do the same thing twice.
Exactly.
You know?
That's dope.
I think also it's important to acknowledge that she's been in the game so long. I mean, this is somebody who wrote Fancy by Iggy Azalea.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, I mean, like, this is like not just an esteemed songwriter, a veteran songwriter.
Yeah.
So it's like to find ways to create music that is novel to yourself still this far along. And I mean, the girl's young. She's like 34, I think she says in the lyrics. And I'm really impressed by that. And she's still, Brat was written towards that moment. You know, it really felt like it belonged in that moment in time.
It did.
And she, on this album, to a lesser degree does that, but she literally has a song called Spring Summer 26. And I appreciate her putting kind of a stamp on it and saying like, no, this belongs to this moment right now. And even if it's like a more disposable album, it still belongs right here.
Yeah. And I think, you know, there's, I've always told you that I like music that gives me like a soundtrack to my life.
Yeah.
And I think like with the way this summer is going, everybody's dealing with heat waves. Like we could, this is something I definitely could imagine myself, you know, in the south of France, listening to while I pop a little champagne, put my toes in the water.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like give me a moment. Sometimes I just want a moment. Not everything has to be, let's bust the doors down open. Sometimes it's just a nice, cool, cute moment. And that's exactly what it's meant to be.
Yeah. I also, I again, love that she draws so much attention to the humor of her lyrics, the irreverence in her lyrics, and yet also the occasional seriousness of it. If you read all the lyrics to this album, I think you'd realize this is a pretty short album. Like a lot of the lyrics repeat again and again. So I guess if I have, you know, a criticism of the album, it's I wish we got a little bit more Charlie in it.
Yeah.
You know, because she's such a good you know, like she's not the kind of person I'm sitting there critiquing any lyrics she gives because it feels so organic to her.
Was there any song that did stand out to you?
Well, the ones that are humor forward, I love. The way she keeps saying card declined on card declined, I love. Wink, wink had a similar winking humor to it. And then there's a song called 2007, which I am definitely in the business of reflecting on 2007 Ooh. As our salad days. Yeah. I just want to sit back and watch Atonement and listen to Fergie Ferg.
Man, and we could eat lettuce back then.
Oh, right.
Remember those days?
I ventured back into it.
Wait, you have?
Due to bravery. Because I need the salad.
I don't think we got the green light yet.
I'm ready for the green lettuce.
Okay, I'm glad you made it today. You said your stomach
and
was feeling
honey,
a little bit
I'm
away.
Snatched. Yes, no.
Because I was gonna say you said something about your stomach. Are you sure it's not your food choices?
Yeah, who knows? Who knows?
No, I'm scared. Yet. I'm still waiting.
Okay. I'm gonna keep going forward.
You're gonna go?
Yeah. No, I'm like Neil Armstrong. Who knows where this will take me?
Godspeed.
Thank you.
What did you think of the album cover?
Okay. I mean, this woman is obsessed with movies.
Yeah.
And I have to appreciate
that
because
I was gonna say.
Because more and more I'm running into people, you know, who are, shall we say, younger than us, who say things like, you know, I'm kind of done watching movies or
somebody said that to you?
They didn't know what they were dealing with. Yeah. By the way, the opposite also happens where people are like, I'm really into movies. And they're like, oh, I just saw this one called All About Eve. I'm like, you can't just say you saw that just now.
I want you to be having these conversations out in the wild because I really do think one day I'm gonna get a call to come bail you out.
Yeah. No.
Because you get upset.
No, right.
If you want to piss you off, just listen, people just need to remember who they're talking to.
No, that's just it. I don't think people pick up on a vibe always. Like, I think maybe the generations below us are not yet vibe readers,
They can't read a room to say their life.
No. But Charlie XCX is someone who was like avidly on Letterboxd talking about literally people like David Cronenberg all the time. At the end of this album, David Cronenberg appears giving a speech about how art is occasionally infinite, but for the most part, artists go away, disappear, die.
Yeah.
They're not here. And that kind of funny fatalism is very her. So I love her incorporating influences so directly. That said, I kind of feel about Charlie XCX the way I do David Cronenberg, which is to say, I'm so impressed. They are one of a kind. And also, what the fuck is wrong with them? Have you seen Ringers with Jeremy Irons recently? Too much blood. And what are these people doing?
I do love when I think, oh, something's wrong with you.
Yeah.
But I usually tend to like people like that.
No, we need that.
Yeah,
no,
we
by
do.
All means, you know, like, I don't know, most pop stars, you know, like Carly Rae Jepsen, who I'm a fan of, seems to be living a nice life. There's not really a takeaway for me from that. Even Kylie Minogue, having a nice time.
Yeah, which, you know, you've earned that. They've earned that.
Yeah.
But we still need a couple of, you know, weirdos in the bunch.
Yeah, right.
You know, I I like, you know, I like people who are a little off.
Well, also, again, if you're weird, the likeliness that you're also funny is very high.
It's very high.
Because you have to be.
Yeah.
You know, you have to have a sensibility about the world that sort of accommodates what the fuck is wrong with you.
I just like entertaining myself with people. You know what I mean? Like, I will say in the Instagram world, you know how they say there's like Instagram face? Like a lot of people are starting to just like every girl who wants to look like Kim Kardashian, like it's just one look.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I feel like that is starting to take over into personalities too, where it's like you don't, there's like, I found myself being in circumstances where I'm around like influencers or whatever, and everybody just kind of has the same personality. And you're just kind of like, what is it? As oatmeal as the shirt you wear.
Thank you.
And right. So I do like when they're, and I say that because it all starts to melt together with artistry, with what we see on TV, the actors they pick, the Instagram pictures. So it is when there is a little bit someone who strays out of it, even if I don't enjoy it, I like that they're different.
Oh, yeah. You know who I'm so fucking grateful for is former Keep It guest Ivy Wolk, who, you know, she's like 23 years old. And just like the kind of humor she has where it's like hyper referential. And I'll say the word droll for the 50th time. Like that is unusual for young people.
Yeah.
I think they've been fed on social media, like the same kind of humor again and again.
Agreed.
So people like Charlie XCX, Ivy Wilk, et cetera, it's like I cherish that they are bringing what I would call, in a way, an old-fashioned sensibility to being famous, you know. And also, that's something else I like about Charlie XCX that is expressed even in the title of this album. She is both really interested in fame, the way Lady Gaga was once upon a time, like the stylings of it, the nastiness of it, the vanity of it, and yet also like eye roll about it.
Yeah.
And I love both those versions because they're both rational to me.
I was going to say that is a rational view because that's exactly how you should look at it.
Yeah, it's fun and stupid.
It's you acknowledge like, I know this is ridiculous.
Yeah.
You know, there are points because there are people who take it incredibly too seriously.
Right.
And I just think I'm in the era where I just really enjoy people at all levels who really just don't take themselves seriously. I think it's why, like, when you see someone like Beyonce and she's doing some regular shit, you eat it up.
Yeah.
Because you're just so used to the pretentiousness of celebrity. And I think, like, we're in an era where all the drapes have been pulled back. And it's like, well, we see how you moving anyway. So this, like, mystery personality is no longer interesting. It's boring.
Yeah, no. There are very few famous people with mystique anymore. Thanks mostly to social media.
Right.
But also because we really have been there, done that.
Yeah.
You know, just like, or like the people who have mystique end up being like the most problematic, or like, you know, I feel like we had years of celebrities who were obsessed with seeming self-deprecating. And then it turns out, oh, no, wait, they're also the nastiest people.
Yes.
You know, because self-deprecation is its own form of like, please like me.
And that starts to get hard, you know, to watch, you know, and be around. And I'm you work at Kimmel, so I know you're around comedians a lot, but like, comedians are the hardest people to be around.
Often, yes.
They're very perceptive. They see the world in a very unique way. And oftentimes it depresses them.
Yes. Right.
You know?
Comedy comes a lot from, I mean, like in a bleak way, it can come from depression or dispassion or, you know, being over the human race. But also, you know where I think a lot of humor comes from? And Charlie XCX reminds me of this. Being fucking bored. Like, you know what gets you out of being bored? Saying something funny.
Yeah.
You know what gets you out of, like, alleged small talk that's not that fun? One joke. I'm like, oh, thank you for lifting us out of that.
And and honestly, a lot of times, it's just honesty. It's not even trying to be funny.
Totally.
It's just someone who's not willing to placate or play nice or do the niceties. It's someone who's just being honest. Like, this is fucking ridiculous. I'm in this conversation. And people will laugh.
Right. No, and in that way, I think being funny often, and in the comedians I like the most, and the artists I like the most, it's just the language they speak.
Yeah.
It's not about,
it's so
I'm
true.
Trying to be funny right now. It's like, in order to make a serious statement, in order to get to the end of this statement and have you remember what I said, it has to be funny.
Yeah.
You know, like, being funny is the fastest way to tell the truth.
And honestly, I think people aren't telling the truth right now. I think there are a lot of people who are keeping it in. They don't want to say things. That's why it's so easy when you see like mob mentalities and people piling on, because once they believe like the person who's speaking out is brave.
Yeah.
And kind of you are, because there are just so many people who aren't willing to just lead from where they want to be.
Yeah.
It's just they're waiting for someone else to do it. And then you wait in 20, 30, 40 years. And so it's interesting when you see someone, when like a Charlie, who's like, oh, okay, I'm just going to be this and take it. Because these are also people who are the most criticized.
Yeah, right. Yeah, she seems very like, like has taken in criticism of herself and says, you know, whatever. Like it's completely random when people love you or don't love you. Or so, you know, may as well make what you want.
I love people who kind of are like, I'm not doing this to be loved. Because I think, you know, you got to just find your tribe. You got to find your people. And the best way to do that is being like 100% honest who you are.
Yeah.
Because I don't want to be, I don't want people to love me if it's you know, off version of myself. Like, yeah. It's okay if everybody don't like me.
Also, yeah, being loved is exhausting.
Yeah. You know? It's overrated.
I'll actually get to this in my Keep It with a different, a very famous celebrity of yore.
Oh, I'm excited to hear.
Okay, good. Me now, too. Who knows what I'll say?
Okay, I'm, should we talk a little bit about Purple Rain?
Let's go crazy.
You're so quick.
The elevator's going to break us down. Oh, no, let's go. What he says after, and hit a bigger floor, hit a higher floor. I did not know that was the lyric until like 1 year ago.
Oh, I just found that out just now with you.
Yeah.
Because like I'm still too busy dancing and screaming. I don't know what he's saying.
Right. He's 3'7" and jumping around. Horny Jiminy Cricket. We'll be right back with our discussion of Purple Rain, the potential musical. Keep It is brought to you by Nutrafol. There's something about summer that gets you out of your routine in a good way. More travel, more time outside, more spontaneous plans. The last thing I want is to spend that time stressing about my hair. That's why I've appreciated having Nutrafol as part of my daily routine. It's an easy habit that helps me feel more confident day to day. Nutrafol is the number one dermatologist recommended hair growth supplement brand, and it's the number one hair growth supplement brand personally used by dermatologists.
Yes, Nutrafol's hair growth supplements are peer reviewed, NSF certified for sport, and clinically tested. So it's not a one-size-fits-all approach. Nutrafol offers multiple formulas for men and women, and it's tailored for different life stages like postpartum or menopause and lifestyle factors and plant-based diets. So you get support that's actually right for you. Adding Nutrafol to your daily routine is very easy. You can order online. There's no prescription needed, and there's automated deliveries and free shipping to keep you on track. Plus, with the Nutrafol subscription, you can save up to 20% and get added perks like a free Headspace membership to support your health journey in hair.
Let your hair become one less thing taking up space in your head and see thicker, stronger, faster growing hair with less shedding in just 3 to 6 months with Nutrafol. For a limited time, Nutrafol is offering our listeners $10 off your first month subscription and free shipping when you visit Nutrafol.com and enter promo code KEEPIT. That's Nutrafol.com, spelled Nutrafol.com, promo code KEEPIT.
Keep It is brought to you by Helix. A good night's rest sets you up for a great day.
Yawn, me getting up, feeling great. Wow, I'm effervesced. I belong to the day. The sunshine is hitting just right. Why is this happening? It's because of Helix.
Look at this.
Oh, this mattress molds to my body in such a perfect, poetic way. I'm like Homer's The Odyssey. Honey, the way the poetry moves through me.
See, if Odysseus had a Helix mattress, he would have got home so much quicker.
Oh my God. He's slow. He sleeps poorly and he's slow.
Clearly. So some of the benefits of Helix are that there's free shipping and seamless delivery. Helix delivers your mattress right to your door, and within the U.S., there's free shipping. You also get a 120-night sleep trial and a limited lifetime warranty.
There's the Happiness with Helix guarantee. Rest easy with seamless returns and exchanges. The Happy with Helix guarantee offers a risk-free, customer-first experience designed to ensure you're completely satisfied with your new mattress. Helix is the most awarded mattress brand, tested and reviewed by experts like Forbes and Wired. Go to helixsleep.com/keepit for 27% off site-wide, exclusive for listeners of Keep It. That's helixsleep.com/keepit for 27% off site-wide, exclusive for listeners of Keep It. Ooh. helixsleep.com/keepit. Now, in other musical news, a new adaptation of Prince's Purple Rain, the movie, is coming to Broadway next year. Prince's 1984 song, album, and feature film serve as the source material for the Broadway adaptation. It'll include more than 20 Prince hits like When Doves Cry and The Beautiful Ones. Nina, are you excited for the new musical?
I would be, but I don't know if Prince would be here for this.
Oh, he would fucking hate this.
Yeah, so I you know, as a fan, would I love to see something like this? Sure, but I do feel like Prince would have been 100% against this.
You don't think he has a big purple vault so that we can, like, rob from it,
right,
and then turn it into a jukebox musical,
right,
for, you know, aunties who are like, who remember nothing about him.
When we talk about the mystique of an artist, I mean, even though we knew a lot about Prince, he still held so much mystique, and he also held boundaries.
Yes.
So it's hard for me, like, obviously this would be cool to see. But I just don't, you know, it's hard for me to support things when I know the artist would just have been 100% against it.
It's also very weird because we're talking about Purple Rain, the movie, which has a couple problematic components. I believe Apollonia gets decked in the face in this movie.
Yes. It's a lot of components.
Yes. But also, there are literally only 9 songs on that soundtrack. Mm. You know, it starts with Let's Go Crazy, ends with Purple Rain, two all-time Prince songs.
Ooh, I just got chills.
Most of the songs on it are fabulous. I think Computer Blue is the weakest one. Still like that song too.
Yeah.
Pretty great
album.
There's
not a bad song.
But also, as you just heard, there'll be 20 hits on this album.
Interesting.
So it's like, I don't like that they're conflating all of Prince together.
Like an adaption of...
Like Kiss is not Purple Rain, or 1989 is not Purple Rain. So I don't know what this is turning into or what they're adding to it. But
I mean, I think they probably are like, we got to fill some space.
Yeah, right.
You know? So it's like an adaption of Purple Rain, which is like, I wonder if that obviously has to alter the storyline some too.
Yeah, right.
You know? So that'll be interesting, which could be a draw to watch, see what changes are made.
Also, I don't know if you've seen Purple Rain recently. Prince acting is so funny because he gets so serious.
Did he act in anything else?
He was in, like, Under the Cherry Moon and Graffiti Bridge.
Right.
Yeah.
But that was it.
Yeah. I mean, like, he never acted, like, in other people's projects.
Right. Yeah. He was like, that's enough.
Oh, he did appear on New Girl that one time because he was obsessed with New Girl.
Which is so interesting.
Because it's like, right, what are you doing up there? And by up there, I mean, you know, in Lake of the Woods or Minnesota, where are you from?
His habits were so interesting of what he enjoyed and liked.
Yeah.
And he was fully immersed in it, too. Like, he had no problem being like, hey, I like you. Come over here.
Yeah.
You would go.
Right. No, Kevin Smith has the famous story of, like, going to his place and discovering he has not just a vault, but, like, tons and tons of music videos no one has ever seen. Like, he's filming things that people have never seen.
And playing basketball, like, knowing how to play basketball.
And, right.
Like,
and as I already established, really he's 1'9".
Stop.
So it's like, where is he shooting?
Crazy.
Like, I could bring, I could like be like, oh, Prince is here. And I bring him up to the table
like
that.
But that aura was 7 feet tall.
Yeah.
That aura was 7 feet tall.
And also, again.
It would beat your ass.
Can we just talk about, again, we've already done a deep dive into humor that like is worthy of like a PBS series or something. But I just want to say, he was funny in a way that is so, there's no other way to put it, gay. Like the side eye is gay.
I mean, he was the shade.
Yeah.
Him at award
shade.
Show,
it's
at,
the only word you could use to describe it is shade.
Him at award shows?
Yeah.
Prince was the only one who, because, you know, I really feel like back then we know the talent was raw, but they were very media trained.
Yeah.
So we know there were divas, but like Prince was the one who would be like, this is crazy.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
It was, there was no veil. Like he was going to say how he felt.
Right. No, if somebody is singing on stage and the singing isn't what it should be, you're going to hear Prince, you're going to see Prince like do a little Marcel Marceau. Like,
I still wish we would have been able to see him as like a judge or something on.
Yeah.
That would have been
like The Good Wife. Yeah.
Like it would have been incredible.
By the way, I would totally believe that he was a fan of The Good Wife. He would have done it.
He had no problem like liking all from the top to the lowbrow.
Yeah, right.
You know, he enjoyed it all, which I think a real artist does. Like, because I think they're like people who find the beauty in everything. Like, they're like, they find a little beauty in mess.
Yeah, totally.
You know? So I don't know if I'll go see this, but I am curious about it. But I just think Prince would have hated this.
Yeah, it just feels so like MJ the musical we just had, like the industry just churning, going one at a time through these like icons. Like, and we've hit so many of them already, right? Like, we have the Billy Joel one, we have the Michael Jackson one, I'm sure we'll get the Madonna one eventually. We had that weird Britney Spears one that didn't go that far.
And everybody's, you know, the problem with these is that you're not, it's going to be something that people pull apart. People are going to be highly critical of this.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
well,
because
also, Prince is a very weird guy, too. There's a lot of misogyny, some homophobia. You know, he had his big religious turn, which was really strange.
Oh, that's true. Yes.
Yeah.
There's a lot of different things to pick apart here. So I'm just curious how they're going to do this. This will be coming out in March of next year. So they're working on it now. So, you know, if we have ideas, we might just need to float it in the universe and hope they take one.
They really should listen to us,
too. I think so, too.
I would actually consider myself a pretty... I'm a completist as a Prince fan. I think I know all his best work, greatest work.
Well, speaking of this, being a completist, are there other albums that you would, like, outside of Prince, with taking other artists that we love?
Yeah.
Are there albums that you would think should be turned out into, like, a Broadway musical?
Well, it's interesting because, again, watching this and seeing that it literally is not just Purple Rain songs, that he's adding all these other songs, I'm realizing it's kind of... impossible to pick an album where they stick to just that those songs. And spiritually, I want them to, because I believe an album represents a moment. Mm-hmm. And I love having just a moment in time explored.
Not a whole musical catalog. And...
Right. But like you know, like I forgive like Jagged Little Pill, the Alanis Morissette one, because she's
That was on my list.
Yes. Because she is which was, you know, was a musical a few years ago. And my good friend Diablo Cody won a Tony for writing Best Book of Musical. But even that, which is, you know, a very a monumentally selling album. Alanis is such an idiosyncratic writer that adding other songs of hers from other albums kind of makes sense, because she writes a particular way, and like it doesn't feel like you're deviating from Jagged Little Pill to go elsewhere. That said, Joni Mitchell Blue is what came to mind first. I don't know if you're familiar with the Joni Mitchell's most classic album, most confessional album, but it really is just this sad exploration of really just the darkest things in her life. Like, she talks about giving a child up for adoption on that album. The song River, I Wish I Had a River I Could Skate Away From, is on that album. So I just think a fully melancholy musical, and we rarely get those. Mm-hmm. You know, like Fun Home with the Alison Bechdel musical, that kind of comes to mind. But I would love to see Joni Mitchell's music explored on Broadway.
This really had my juices going when I thought about picking an album, because I'm like, wow. And then I thought, why haven't more people done this?
Yeah.
You know, and would it be weird if an artist did this living, like did a Broadway musical based on an album? I mean, it's not weird, right?
No, I mean, that's what the Jagged Little Pill musical
was. Yeah. So I was thinking.
We had American Idiot by Green Day. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I was thinking, like, what would I want to see on Broadway that I haven't seen? And you know what I thought would be good? I thought Kendrick Lamar, Good Kid, Mad City.
Oh, I would also just say that will happen. I feel like we will get a Kendrick Lamar musical.
I thought, I need to write his team.
Yeah, right.
If there was, like, a Broadway show of Good Kid, Mad City, which was transformative for me. I love that album. I still listen to it. It still plays in the car. But also, like, Kendrick Lamar's storytelling is really good. And on that album specifically, there's an ongoing story about this girl, Shireen, right? And how she, you know, Shireen and, like, all the guys in the neighborhood knew her and how she would set people up. And there's like, this through line about, like, certain characters and his mom. And, like, even, like, the van was a character. Like the van that he would steal from his mom, which ended up being on the cover of the album.
Yeah.
And I was like, has there ever been a Broadway show that highlights like a kid from Compton? And there hasn't been. And how cool that would be to like really highlight this. Oh my God. Like it needs to happen yesterday.
Yeah. I'm trying to think of the closest thing we've had to that. I mean, this is not it at all, but like that Alicia Keys musical, Hell's Kitchen.
No.
Where it's like, and also, I'm sorry. Too bland for this. I don't know. Yeah. I like an artist with a really like hard point of view.
Yeah. And he tells such a good story and makes it visual and also like lets you know, like, even like, you know, in the chorus, he says, like, they're in one of his songs, and he says, like, where does your grandma stay? And that's such an important conversation in
the Love it.
About like, where does she stay at? Because that's where you're from. Because so many people were staying with their grandmas. And so I'm like, man, there's so many conversations that could come out of this. And so I love anything coming of age. But I feel like a lot of times when we get coming of age, it's one type of story.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and I don't know. I think like this would be something really dope to explore. And you talk about like almost like your audience would have to be involved because everything is so, all the music on there is so powerful. Like, we'd probably be standing up the whole time.
Yeah, precisely.
You know, it's almost like it's a Broadway show, but it's also a little bit of a concert.
Right.
Yeah. So I'm going to get him on the line.
I feel like this is going to happen too, but The Miseducation of Lauryn Hill is, I think, a good answer for this because I think it will have the components you're talking about, which is coming of age. Like, it has songs about her, like, her past and childhood. There's, like, Every Ghetto, Every City on that album.
Yep.
But there's also 17 songs on that album. Yeah. So you could probably draw out a whole musical.
Man.
And also, it's also distinctly from her point of view. Like, you could really get to, like, an entire character's, like, a full arc, you know. Because there's a lot about writing about the future. She talks about she's about to have a kid on that album.
I mean,
the two Zion album.
Alone, yeah. Like, Zion
what
gives
an amazing
me chills.
Song.
Zion is just still, like, a song that I have to, like, I hold my breath a little when I hear.
Yeah.
So imagine
that. Also has
that.
Carlos Santana on it.
Yeah, yeah. Like, seeing that in person. But we just wouldn't, you know, we wouldn't start the show until midnight because you know Lauren ain't going to show up on time.
Oh, no.
So I just don't know about Lauren on Broadway.
The clocks on her in her house work different, okay?
She's on a different, you know, I'm convinced that we're going to find out that Lauren is like an alien.
Yeah.
Because she just does not subscribe to our set of rules.
No, 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 no. And nor has she for like 25 years.
Yeah, because that's the only reason why this ain't ever going to happen with Lauren. She ain't going to show up for the meeting.
Also, I do think she's one of these Prince people where there's a lot of music she made that she just didn't want to put out.
Oh, 1,000%.
She's like, it's not hitting for me.
She just operates really on her own regard. And I think as a fan, it was frustrating for me, but I also respect it. But I also had to pull back because I was like, I'm never going to a Lauryn Hill show.
No,
I'm not. And I love her, but I am not. I'm already not a concert girly. I'm not waiting for you for 4 or 5 hours.
No, stick to her when she's on the Grammys, which is actually not infrequently because we need her back every once in a while.
Yeah, she pops in and does. She's still like we still see Lauryn.
Yeah,
but it's really on her own time.
Totally.
And she gonna pop in and do what she want to do, and she gonna leave, and you're not gonna tell her nothing.
Yeah, still sounds good.
Still sounds great.
Yeah.
Yeah, because she'd be probably drinking tea while we wait for her. You know what I was thinking, though? I was thinking lemonade.
Oh, definitely.
Right?
Yeah.
Like lemonade.
It's almost like, it almost feels like I don't want to have to make a musical out of it since like the videos on that album really tell the story.
Yes, that's
that
true.
Said, why not?
Sorry is one of my favorite songs from Beyonce.
Yeah.
Because I feel like she was, you know, I love her cussing somebody out.
Totally.
Because Beyonce
I told you, I love frantic Beyonce the most.
Yes, you do. And I, man, if I could see this like yellow dress on stage.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Let's recreate it. Beyonce, I think this is time. Now, Yvette follows me.
Yeah. Oh, really?
You know, Yvette follows me.
Wow.
Should I send a DM?
The ladies love you. Yeah.
I feel a little accomplished. Michelle follows me.
Really?
Yes.
I mean, I think Michelle is actually fucking hilarious. So
Michelle is hilarious.
Yeah.
She doesn't take herself too seriously. She's great. And she's just the most, she's the, out of all of the members of Destiny's Child, Michelle will write you back.
Yeah.
Like if you are in her comments, she's replying. Like she's, and also really talented. I saw her, speaking of musicals, I saw her do The Color Purple.
Oh, I saw Michelle Williams in Death Becomes Her. Yeah.
She's phenomenal on stage. Really phenomenal. And it's not that you know that she can sing, obviously. But when she's on her own, she really just, I was captivated by her performance.
No, for somebody who's known as I don't mean this to sound bitchy, but like an also ran in a girl group, she had a distinct personality all her own.
1,000%. And she's funny and she's quirky. And I love like where she's at in life right now. She was engaged. She ended the engagement. She's just kind of on that like Tracy Ellis Ross journey where she's like, I don't know what's going on. Like, I'm not prioritizing this. If it happens, it happens. And I really love that she's just really like, she seems incredibly centered and funny and real. And I don't feel like she gets a lot of credit for her personality and the jokes that she makes being compared to the other Michelle Williams. And,
they finally met.
And, you know, and she's still in Beyonce's inner circle. So she's at everything. Right.
Totally. Yes. And I find that when Jesus say yes, nobody can say no.
That part.
You know what I'm saying?
Nobody can say no. That's right.
Right.
You know? And, you know, so she's, and I feel like Kelly is a little bit more private.
Yeah.
You know,
like, also though, Kelly, a good interview.
Great interview.
Great humor, too.
Great interview. She recently did an interview with Scott Evans, and it was so funny. And she was making fun of Beyonce because she was saying words that Beyonce left out in one of her
yes,
songs.
Yes, very funny.
I was dying laughing. And I like that they tease each other.
I actually forget that maybe most of our perception of Beyonce as a personality, which, as you know, we only have like splintered glimpses into what that could be, is from those two girls.
Yes.
Because they have such a like, you know, fun hangout vibe, unserious hangout vibe.
And it's still very, I feel like they're all at a place where they don't have to hang out if they don't want to.
No.
And you see them together and hanging out, and it still gives me a little bit of that, like, nostalgic. I'm like comforted because I believe they're saying that there could, Matthew Knowles recently said that there potentially could be a Destiny's Child album coming out.
That's actually too much to bear.
Would Matthew know, though?
I'm going to go yes. I don't know why I feel that way.
I feel like Matthew just be talking sometimes.
Yeah.
Matthew with one T.
But I also do think it would be weird if we never got another Destiny's Child album because they're like around and talented and good.
Well, is this going to be the third phase? Because, you know, they're saying like Beyonce's coming out with one more iteration.
Right. The alleged rock, whatever.
Right. Yes. But maybe it's not going to be rock. Maybe it's like a reunion instead of rock.
Yeah. I was thinking it would be more like that. The Carters album, just like a quick detour before we get back to the Beyonce thing.
Could be. You know? Could be. I could get an LP.
Please.
You know what I mean? I don't care what you got. I don't care if it's just two songs. Just give us something together.
No, they kind of are like also Pussycat Dolls in that all of their singles are good. You know,
it's so true.
I don't have a single where I'm like, oh, they shouldn't have released that.
No,
I guess
it's
I don't
so true.
Love the song Girl.
You don't like Girl. You know what I love? I love Free. And I hadn't heard it in a while. Mm. And somebody used it on like a Insta story. And I was like, I forgot Free was so good.
Yeah.
So it does. There's also things you can revisit.
Yeah.
You know, so I think we will get a Broadway musical from Beyonce.
Oh, and maybe then you can incorporate the Destiny's Child, too.
Yeah. Because they love a pop-in.
Oh, sure, sure.
They love a pop-in.
No.
They pop in all her major stuff anyway.
And also, literally a pop-in. You'll see Michelle and Kelly pop up and land on their heels.
That's, yeah. I imagine them popping up at the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
You know, which, and the good thing is, all they need still work.
Right,
because
right,
some
right.
groups... Y'all ain't doing a performance standing up.
No.
Y'all gonna have to sit down for that one.
No, but when they get the note from Beyonce, it's like, you know, you better get the heels on and you better be ready to bounce.
I don't think we give enough credit to performers who are performing in their 40s and beyond in heels on stage. I can't even walk. I'm gonna tell you something. I valeted the other day, and just from the valet to the walk for the front entrance of the restaurant,
oh, Nina.
I pulled something.
No,
and
Nina.
I tell you what, I had to get my CBD massage oil and 3 Advils for 2 days.
Not this driving Miss Daisy.
I said, oh, I'm having real issues. I'm gonna have to start stretching when I wake up.
Well, ain't nothing wrong with that. Stretching when you wake up is
a
good move.
I had a friend who was like, well, do you stretch when you wake up? And I was like, what?
No, I do like real Misty Copeland show when I
get
up.
What is your routine when you wake up?
Well, just to be, I just like my mom who runs 5 miles a day.
And she is 72, does?
72 years old.
No.
Yes. I don't have much body pain. Occasionally, after I work out, the next day I might feel my lower back.
Oh,
so I do some
baby.
Lower back stretches in bed.
Must be nice to be God's favorite.
Yes,
this
right.
episode is over.
So
meanwhile, I pulled a hammy getting out my car.
Yeah.
I'm thinking of getting a new car because my car is really low to the ground.
Mm.
It's really, I love my car. It's paid off. But I think I might need assistance getting out at this point.
Okay.
When the valet opens the door, I'm like, thank you, baby. I'm like, oh, I've turned into my auntie.
You at this point, now that you've admitted that, you have no choice. You have no chance of being Destiny's Child member number 4.
Oh, no, I'm not. I will be in the audience.
Yeah, okay.
I am not meant to perform.
All right.
The only thing I'm going to need is a mic. Now, if I'm sitting down, I could do an intro.
Sure.
But I'm not even willing to stand up for them.
Okay. You've been warned, everybody.
I'm just telling everybody. Okay, do you have any other albums that you want to put on Broadway?
Is there another one I want to say? Well, I mean, we basically got the Rumors by Fleetwood Mac album with the Stereophonic show a couple years ago, which was phenomenally received and also phenomenally long. But like any Fleetwood Mac album would work, including their self-titled. And I'm talking mainly about the era in which it was Lindsey Buckingham, Stevie Nicks, Christine McVie, etc. Because not only does that group have 3 distinct vocalists, they have 3 distinct personalities.
Yeah,
like,
that's
I would
true.
Personally say Stevie Nicks and Christine McVie as personalities, even though they were best friends in real life, have nothing in common.
Yeah.
I mean, like Stevie Nicks is constantly talking about, you know, it's not just a relationship. It's a storm within thunder, within hail that's like whipping up her relationship. You know, it's always witchy. It's always a moon pendant hanging off of her, whatever. Whereas like Christine McVie is just like a white woman with a bluesy voice with a sort of mournful quality. And they're really good pop songs. You know, like Carole King is definitely jealous of half of what Christine McVie wrote. Then, you know, you've got Lindsey, who's a male bitch, which is rarely done. But again, he's a British man, and they're funnier
there
over
you
there.
Go.
Any Fleetwood Mac album makes sense because just by putting those songs together, you have 3 distinct personalities and points of view.
And we're
so
gonna
it's
be in that
show.
Thing vibing.
Yeah, right.
We're gonna be in. Listen,
can you rock with Fleetwood Mac?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I mean, I'm gonna smoke a joint before.
Okay.
You know what I mean? But it's a vibe. They have vibe.
Oh, quite.
Yes.
Quite.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
And they're always fighting and stuff to this day.
Oh, I love.
Stevie's like, you won't believe what Lindsey did to me the other day.
And I love people who will just tell you about the drama. Like, we are not trying to pretend that we have this perfect relationship.
Oh, no. Stevie will always give you the quote.
And that's how you know it's real.
Yeah.
I mean, I just love people who give you the real and they don't try to hide the beef. It's the best.
Oh,
and
yeah.
And that's a real relationship, by the way.
Right.
I have best friends from like 25 years and we cuss each other out on the daily.
You know, here's the thing, though. I feel like this is something you can kind of expect from bands that have – women in them, since they're not going to be cagey about it. I feel right. like, whereas like men are like sort of like weird about telling you what's going on mm-hmm. between them. And I just want to say, and we don't talk about this band ever on Keep It, this is where I have to give a shout out to Oasis. Thank you both for being such total bitches for like 35 years.
I didn't expect an Oasis shout out today.
And also, I just love their fucking look, their whole vibe. They are, talk about fucking funny. When you watch like a music video of theirs and they give commentary on it, I forget which one does it, like Liam or Noel Gallagher, I'm dying laughing.
Really?
Again, Britain. Sorry.
You're a fan.
I keep
you're
coming back to this thesis and I keep being right.
Yeah, you think the Brits are funnier.
Yes, right.
I mean, you're going to get it. You know there's a whole conversation about Brits taking over American jobs right now.
Let's do it.
In the creative field.
Yeah.
So anyway, we're here for everybody being up front.
Please, yes.
All right, you guys, we'll be right back with more Keep It.
Keep It is brought to you by Laundry Sauce. You know why I'm obsessed with Laundry Sauce? I am using it right now. Before I left the house, I did a load of laundry. I threw some Laundry Sauce in it. It's bubbling up and smelling like only the finest flavors right now. I cannot wait to throw this stuff in the dryer.
You always smell so good.
Oh, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
When it comes to the scent of your laundry, it shouldn't smell like the same thing you use to disinfect your bathroom. Enter Laundry Sauce, the premium scented laundry pods that don't just clean your clothes, they elevate them. Say hello to fine fragrances made by the world's top perfumers that last until your next laundry day. Imagine stepping outside on the perfect summer morning with your clothes smelling like Australian sandalwood, Italian bergamot, or the new limited edition Brazilian vanilla.
Ooh. It all smells so good and sounds so amazing. Laundry Sauce isn't just about smelling incredible, though. It's engineered for performance. So these highly concentrated pods are packed with cleaning power of bioenzymes that obliterate stains from muddy hikes, backyard barbecues, and that inevitable iced coffee spill. So summer is the perfect time to feel your best, and Laundry Sauce is here to help you make your favorite pieces look and feel brand new.
For a limited time only, our listeners get 20% off your entire order when you use code KEEP at LaundrySauce.com. That's 20% off your order at LaundrySauce.com with promo code KEEP. Laundry Sauce also just made its Target debut. Shop Laundry Sauce in select Target stores now. 90% of customers now love Laundry Day because of Laundry Sauce. Turn your least favorite chore into a self-care ritual.
Laundry Sauce isn't just about premium laundry pods. It's a full upgrade for your laundry routine. With their fabric conditioner, scent booster, and dryer sheets, and fabric fresher sprays, you'll have everything you need to transform your laundry experience from basic to extraordinary. And maybe the best part about Laundry Sauce, they offer a full money-back guarantee. If you don't get better smelling, cleaner laundry, you get a full refund. No questions asked.
So for a limited time only, our listeners get 20% off your entire order when you use code KEEP at LaundrySauce.com. That's 20% off your order at LaundrySauce.com with promo code KEEP. After you purchase, they'll ask you where you heard about them. Please support our show and tell them we sent you. It's time to make Laundry Day the best day of the week.
Okay, and we're back. It's my favorite time of the day, Lewis.
Let's get salty and saucy.
It's time for our Keep Its. Why don't you go?
Okay. I'm saying Keep It to only people I love, which are Maggie Gyllenhaal, Dakota Johnson, and Ellen Burstyn. Recent Keep It guest Ellen Burstyn. Mm. Still sharp as a tack. Sharp as a tack. This woman's like 93 years old. There is going to be a new short film premiering at the Venice Film Festival in September called Flesh Impact. It is about Marilyn Monroe, as in Dakota Johnson plays one version of where Marilyn Monroe's life could have gone.
Oh.
And Ellen Burstyn plays a different version if she had lived into her 90s. Can we stop talking about Marilyn Monroe for 8 minutes?
I don't have
any more takeaways to have about this very talented woman. I have enjoyed her several times.
Meanwhile, I'm like, I can't wait to watch.
No, here's the thing. I'm not a woman. I believe that women have a connection to Marilyn Monroe that is ever feedable. There's more to be drawn. It's not just a vortex. It's like a universe of Marilyn Monroe that people connect with. I have nothing else to learn about Marilyn Monroe.
You're done.
I've seen all the movies. I saw the movies about the movies. Like My Week with Marilyn, Michelle Williams is great in it. I didn't hate the movie Blonde with Ana de Armas.
You didn't?
I didn't.
Oh.
There are scenes in it I hate, but I did not hate her in it. There have been many versions of her. There have been TV movies. There have been biographies. Everybody who's ever worked with her has given 10,000 interviews about what it was like to work with her, how she was mercurial, but talented, but frustrating, but very smart, but underrated, but overrated. whatever.
You're crashing out right now.
There could be a short about any other actress. Could we take 6 minutes to talk about Vivian Leigh? Could we take 6 minutes to talk about Lana Turner? I don't know.
I agree.
There are other fascinating people. And it when people like dwell on Marilyn Monroe like this, it makes me lose a little bit of faith in our interest in each other.
I also feel like, do you think like when they go to pitch about someone else, the execs are like, well, what about Marilyn Monroe? Why don't we make this a Marilyn project? Because I do feel like, is this what's getting greenlit? Because I have to imagine there are people who are pitching all kinds of ideas that could go back to all types of actresses from the past. But I wonder if these studios who I imagine these like, these, you know, straight white men who only know of two iconic women from back in the day. And they were like, well, what? We should just do Marilyn.
Yeah, we've heard of that one. The Candle in the Wind girl? Sure. Let's bring that back.
It has to be brought back, right?
She's been redone more times than Spider-Man.
I will say it is fascinating, like Marilyn's life, and also just like sometimes it's not even her life, it's what the world did to her that is so fascinating.
No, and I'm sure that's what this will be about.
To me, that was like the beginning of the parasocial relationships, right?
Yes. Yeah, you're right. No, you're right. People think they know her exactly. That is very comparable to Britney Spears.
Was she like the first influencer?
Yes.
You know?
Like Britney's fans, first they connected with her, and then it became almost speaking on her behalf.
Yes. And
so it's both this layer of like connection, but also light condescension.
A thousand percent.
Yeah.
A thousand percent. And I agree with you. There is a lot. I will say, though, my bandwidth for it is pretty long.
Yeah. I know a part of this is I'm a man. I know it. You know?
No, I definitely got I definitely got goosebumps when you said it. I said, oh, I won't be part of it. How do I get involved?
There's more, like, again, you know, I'm a Carpenter's person. Can we get the fucking Karen Carpenter movie already?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Are we going to get that short?
No, I think we have to wait for Richard, her amazing and talented brother, to die.
Yeah.
Because he is running that like
the
Navy.
I would even go for seeing a little bit more on Natalie Wood.
Don't just bring up Natalie Wood to me. I was just rewatching Sex and the Single Girl the other day.
Are you?
Crazy movie.
Yes.
Co-written by Joseph Heller, by the way, of Catch-22 fame. I love Natalie Wood. I think she is an underrated historical.
I would love to see
Rebel Without a Cause, Splinter in the Grass, Bob and Carol and Ted and Alice could go on and on.
Yeah, I mean,
let alone the death, which is, of course, instantly fascinating.
I mean, that alone
is
something that, you know.
Yeah.
I'm surprised they haven't done a Netflix doc on that.
No. Wait for it. Imagine? Hey, Netflix, do that.
Hello.
Right.
Hello, somebody.
Not to be incendiary, but like Christopher Walken's still alive.
I mean, I do think that we could have a modern day lens on this. And I think, you know, I feel like it hasn't happened in a while.
Right.
Should we not revisit this a little?
No. And also her sister, Lana Wood, a former Bond girl from Diamonds Are Forever, who was on Keep It years ago during the pandemic, still here, still wants to talk about that, too.
She does.
She has her own suspicions about Robert Wagner. Yes.
And I think we should hear her.
Please. Yes.
I'm here for it. Okay. So now at least something positive has come out of this. Keep It.
We've
thrown out some ideas. So this is the thing. When you complain, you got to have some alternatives.
Right.
You got to have some solutions.
What's the pitch? Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
And you came with solutions. I respect it.
Yeah.
I'm going to still watch, though. I'm going to watch this short film.
Okay. Nina, what is your Keep It this
week? My Keep It is to myself.
Oh.
And my perimenopausal memory.
If you had an album, might be My Keep It Is to Myself.
That would be the name of my memoir.
Okay.
So we talked about The Odyssey last week.
Right.
And I've had so many people reach out and be like, Nina, I'm disappointed. And I'm like, well, what did I do? You left out John Leguizamo.
We did.
And I text you.
Yeah.
When we were done filming, like the next day, I said, damn it. I had a whole thing to say about John, but you are so captivating. I almost blame you. You're captivating.
Look.
And I looked into
your eyes. You can't teach charisma, sweetie.
And I lost my train of thought. It's what happens when you're beautiful.
Oh, sure.
And so I just want to say, John Leguizamo was incredible in The Odyssey. And definitely, I believe, do you think he'll get a Best Supporting Actor nomination from this?
No. I mean, not that he was bad. I just don't think it made enough of an impact.
Did you hear me audibly gasp?
Well, also, he's very stuck at the beginning of the movie.
But he's in it throughout.
I mean, like, look, in this post-Tiana Taylor movie universe where in One Battle After Another, she is only in the beginning of the movie.
Yeah, that's true.
But she did get nominated. To me, she pervaded that movie somehow. Like, you remembered her so well, her distinct personality. And I think he's good in the movie, and his look is very distinct, which is always key with a supporting actor nomination. I just don't think it's enough. That said, you know what's so interesting about John Leguizamo is everybody loves him.
Yeah.
You know, like, he's not really comparable to anybody. And yet, I'm hard pressed to pick this the signature role of his. I guess it would be Tu Wong Fu.
Yeah,
or Romeo and Juliet.
Romeo and Juliet for sure.
But I think the problem is those movies also have other great performances, and so you don't just think of them as his movie.
But he was in Romeo and Juliet. He was just the way he looked and embodied was, I think, in a way that we hadn't seen him before.
Yeah.
So that to me was the turnout role for him. Tu Wong Fu, obviously, Chi Chi was my favorite.
Love.
So and he talks about how impactful Tu Wong Fu was to him, but also to people in his community coming up to him and talking to him about it and being and playing that role at that specific time.
Yeah.
So there were so many different things to say. But I mean, for me, probably I think of him the most in Carlito's Way.
That also makes sense. Yeah. I was going to say Summer of Sam, a movie nobody remembers, but yes.
Yeah. Yeah. And Summer of Sam, it's so funny. I just saw Spike Lee doing like a tribute to him from Summer of Sam. But
oh, cool.
Yeah. So I will say, I mean, and then, you know, of course, like The Pest, Ice Age, like he's been around
right.
for a long time.
Oh, excuse me. I'm one of the few people I know who has seen the Super Mario Brothers movie within the past 3 years.
Oh, wow.
It is so in this world where like now like tons of video games are adapted into
right.
movies. And also Super Mario is now our most famous movie star.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which is a crazy feeling. That movie is such a bizarro misfire. I love it in that they tried to put two character actors in these iconic video game roles. It's just they had no idea what to do with them. And then Dennis Hopper, too. And then Fiona Shaw works for Bowser. I could go right. on and on
it's,
about this
it's,
movie.
It's, yeah. Listen, it's, yeah. he does have a unique way of picking projects that get talked about for a long time.
Yeah.
Even like projects you don't think you'll talk. Like, who thought they would be talking about The Pest?
No.
You know what I mean? But I will say in The Odyssey, he had a really good way of, there are some actors who you can't get away from who they are. You know, even with Robert Pattinson, sometimes I'm like, that's just Robert.
Oh, right, right,
you
right.
know,
like, kind of like Winona Ryder.
Yes, like yeah. they're so
Kristen
huge.
Stewart. Yeah,
yeah like uh-huh. where you, they're great actors, but you, their name is so big it almost overshadows what they're playing or who they're playing. And John, like, I forgot it was him on screen. Which,
totally.
You know what I mean? I was like, I forgot this was John. And also, I just have never seen him in a role like this. So I, you know, and that doesn't necessarily mean you should get a nomination, but I often find when you think about longing in a character, it's usually a love interest. And to see him longing for Odysseus to come back, and you feel like he really did a good job of like showing like the pain of a friend and losing a friend and wanting that back.
Yeah. No, you're right. He had more gravitas than most of the performances did in that movie.
Yeah.
Like I enjoyed, you know, Charlize and Samantha Morton and stuff. But you're right. I can only say I wish he had three more scenes. You know,
but you know what they always say is there's no small roles, only small actors.
Also,
is that
he's great in Moulin Rouge too, right? He played Toulouse-Lautrec. Yeah.
Yes. Mm-hmm. He has quite the resume. John don't have to work again if he don't want to.
You know what? He's the kind of person who I feel like should have been on a Showtime series for like 10 seasons. You know, like where's his like Californication or something?
He's also really popular for talking about roles he's turned down, which people like a lot of he often in interviews will say, I was supposed to do that, and people get mad at him because they're like, well, you weren't in it. But yeah. I do think I'm always fascinated with roles actors turn down and whether they regret it or not. And he's also one of those actors, if we're going back to transparency, he just says what he feels.
Totally.
He's
have that kind of live wire
feel. Yeah. He's political. He, you know, he's bigging up his culture. He talks about, you know, the climate of the world. Like, he doesn't shy. One thing I like about him is he don't shy away from his truth.
Yeah.
And I think that's important. I don't always agree with him either. But I do think there's something important there's so many people who are so trained, they don't give you anything.
Yeah.
And I do feel like whatever he gives, whether it's an interview, whether it's a performance, he gives you 100% of himself. And that is something that should never be forgotten. So shame on me. And, you know, you too a little bit.
I feel the same way. But also, you know what he has? Like, for a straight man, he has zeal. Like, it's like, it's not just energy. It's like vibe and, like, tenacity.
It just, there are some, I do think he's incredibly just charming.
Yeah.
You know, there's something very charming. There's some people who just give off an energy that you can't explain. Rihanna's the same.
Yeah. And do you know what music video he's famously in?
No.
He's in the Borderline video by Madonna. He's like one of the kids like breakdancing.
Is he?
Isn't that fucking sick?
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Oh, he's got, look at this.
Yeah.
It's just like when we talk about like Alfonso Ribeiro, he used to be in all like the breakdancing.
Totally.
And like, you know, like there is.
Talk about somebody who is shockingly normal seeming for having been a star his entire life.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's I really, to be a star in like the 80s and 90s, you really had to be a trifecta. You had to, the people who were playing the most mundane roles would blow anybody right now away. Like they were actors, singers, dancers, like they could do it all.
What we used to call hoofers.
What you used to call
hoofers. Yeah, right. Sorry. I'm 177 years old. Yeah.
But it's, you know, it is something to be said. Like I think he has old school talent, which is really dope.
Yes. There is an old school feeling about him.
Right. Yeah. Which I think a lot of us are craving right now.
Yes. No, again, I can't stop bringing up Keke Palmer because it's like, can we have three more celebrities like this who just can't stop talking, gabbing, funny, dramatic, whatever they want to do.
Yeah, you know, her and Zendaya both can sing.
Yeah.
Like they are I think that's why they're both thriving so much is that I think to really be able to succeed in the world we're in now where everyone is overstimulated, you do have to know how to do a little bit of everything.
Yeah.
And I think so many people want to hone in on one thing, but just there is something to be said for the art of conversation. And like both of them, like when I see Zendaya, even Tom and Keke, when they have these interviews, they're so captivating and you want to hear more from them. Like I don't have any kind of fatigue with Zendaya or Keke.
Also, do you think the key to Tom being charismatic is he's British? I'm sorry.
Lord, here we go.
This keep
has been the
coming
theme.
Back.
Are we going to do our next show from London?
Let's
What's going
please.
On?
Please. Hook me up with the tea. Oh my God. See? Tea.
Look at you. Look tea. At you. Look how you incorporated that in. I think that's a great note to end on.
I don't know if it's great, but it is the note we're ending on.
It's something.
Yeah. Thank you.
It's something and it's worth talking about.
Right, right.
You know? So on to our next Netflix binge. We gotta pick another true crime show to watch.
I guess. No, we're that podcast now, which is to say most podcasts.
I really actually do like your perspective on true crime.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, but I also love that you were like, I thought about it and this is all I love that you said this is all I'll think about it ever again. You've decided.
No, maybe you're going to bring up a true crime thing and then I'll just be like, wasn't she crazy? And then we move on.
I would love for people to send us suggestions on something true crime to watch that's not too time consuming.
Okay, great. Yes,
like
exactly.
Nothing that we have to spend weeks on, but if you guys have suggestions on like something true crime that you think we'd enjoy together, then we should do it.
We also, you know what, I have to watch Widow's Bay though too.
My God, my heart just stopped. I forgot you haven't watched that.
I know, I'm an idiot.
You would love it.
I host
it.
A pop culture podcast. It's
you
not
would
fair.
Also just love it. Like you're going to be mad at yourself that you waited this long.
Okay. I'm doing that before my birthday next week.
Yeah, I think this will, your birthday present is to yourself.
Okay, thank you.
It will be your birthday present to yourself to watch Widow's Bay.
Eating a single slice of cake with a candle in it, watching Widow's Bay.
How are you feeling? You're about to be 21.
I am so excited to finally go to my college bar of choice. And 4 more years until I can rent a car.
I'm so excited for you.
I'm actually really excited.
I'm excited to celebrate you.
Yes.
All right, we'll talk about it next week.
Yeah, I'll be here on my birthday next week. So.
Oh my goodness.
Yes.
We got to turn up. We'll be back with a new episode next week.
See you then.
Bye.
Keep It is a Crooked Media production. Our show is produced by Caroline Rustin, Kelsey Gante, Kendra James, Lindsay Gomez, and me, Louis Fertel. Our team includes Matt DeGroat, Rachel Gajewski, Delon Villanueva, Claudia Shang, Mia Kalman, Jay Banks, Charlotte Landis, and Jordan Cantor. Our staff is proudly unionized with the Writers Guild of America East.